to be the fittest you can be, right? And it also always highlights your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So every single time that you go in the gym, your weaknesses are highlighted, and then you have possibility to work on them, right? And then get
It also has the competition aspect of it, because
exactly,
you know,
every score
you have, have all of the people that are in the gym, and then you know, this person did 10, this person did 20, this person did 15,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So it goes, and then it's a friendly competition, because once the, you know, once the time expires, and then you're like, you're done, and then you're sweaty, and that's pre-COVID, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? You're sweaty all over the place. And then, you know, you give a fist bump, and then you're like, you joke around about like, man, I felt like you were getting me in there. And then, you know, and then you get like, okay, I'll get you next time. So it's a friendly competition.
Yeah.
That's the part that I like about it. But also, most importantly, it's just like the community of it. The fact that if you don't show up for 2 days, someone will call you to be like, are you okay?
Wow.
Right? Like, they will reach out to you. Like,
wow.
Like people develop friendship. People develop. So, yes, it's a workout regimen, but it's a community as well that, you know, people becomes friends. People get married. People get kids. They become family. And then I can bring my kid. Like, I could, like, give my wife a break at home, right? When she was on mat leave, I finish work and I get the kid, put him in the car seat, and then, you know, feed him and put him in a corner with some like balls and everything. And then I'm working out. And then maybe there's a parent that, you know, finish workout and can keep an eye on them. And then it's like that community feel is so great in there. So that's one of the thing. And I don't know, it makes me, it's the 1 hour in the day where I don't have to remember what my name is. I don't have to remember. I can, you know, turn off my mind and then, like, you know, like just flush down bad emotions that I had throughout the day or get ready for the day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then after that, it got me to a mental practice of like, okay, well, all right. I always tend to panic when I get in that situation. Let me get to the bottom of it. Maybe I should breathe more. Maybe I should count more. Maybe I should, I always find that my voice is telling me you can't do that right now when I know I have the ability to. So it's kind of like all of a sudden it goes from the physical to the inside, and you're like, okay, I need to like investigate what's going on inside. Like, why, when I'm in this situation, I feel like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like investigate a little bit, and then it's a physical, you know, practice, but myself, I brought it to the mental of like every single day mentally, I get to check in on me, how I'm doing. And that allows me to do something physical. So
have gyms opened up again? Like, are you able to go back to some kind of semi-regular CrossFit training?
Yeah. We you know what? Like, our gym owner or head coach has been very like, I don't know, man. That guy was able to find a way to make it work. During the pandemic, he like opened up Zooms, and the whole day we had workouts like at home, and he's like, oh, you don't have a bar? Like, you, and then you realize what we can work with when you are at home, like, you know, books and you know, water jugs and all that jazz.
Yeah.
But gym has been open. We have some regulations in terms of like, you know, you have certain squares, you have to wear your mask in certain spots. You have to clean equipments and stuff like that. So we've been able to have a consistent, you know, like attendance at our gym. So it's been okay. Yeah.
Nice. Boy. And okay. We've spoken about fatherhood. We've spoken about the fact that you're a teacher, and of course how being on Native territory influences you. You're a CrossFitter, poet, right?
Well, you're a poet too.
I'm a poet too.
Stop it.
I'm not. No. Don't take it as a bad thing, my brother. Come on now, poet. How doesn't it fit? You know, how doesn't it fit? Of course it fits. Tell me a little about poetry, because you came to poetry. In your bio, it says, you know, between 2007 and 11, you did a series of live spoken word shows in Montreal exploring the condition of the exiled Haitian. How did you come to poetry? Because I always find this fascinating. how people come to poetry, because it's a thing that a lot of people turn towards. My story is it's a woman. It starts with a woman for me.
And you know what? Me, it was to impress people that I potentially were interested in.
There
but
you go.
Turned out were never interested in me. That's a separate story.
That's another story for another day.
That's a separate story. Let's not talk about this.
Okay.
But I got into poetry like I was like 14, 15, started to write, you know, poems here and there, but mainly love poems, poor rhyming, you know,
yes.
Like very, very like cheesy, repeating things that you hear in songs.
Yes.
But they were training wheels, right?
Like, yeah, of
course.
They
were things that you were like, and then when I moved to Montreal, you probably like familiar with those situations where like, you know, we have big family gatherings and then the adults are the one like dominating the conversation. You're there, but you can't say a word,
no.
But they are going at it like, from different angles. And I'm like, you know what? I have something to say, but you guys are not willing to listen to it. I'm gonna write it.
Okay.
I'm gonna write it.
Okay.
Right. And then I started writing this and I did a entire series on like, you know, personifying Haiti and having a conversation with Haiti based on the like debates that we used to have at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I like, you know, started to write more. Like I don't spend a day right now without writing, whether it's a journal, whether it's like little like bits, like it's always writing because that's something that I've always like wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right. So poetry started like that young at 14, 15. And then when I got to Montreal, started to write poems again. And then 2007, I'm like, okay, I'm going on stage. Never, you know, thought about like what it would look like. And I'm like, let's do a show.
Right.
Gathered a couple of friends. And then we're like, you know, we're going to do a spoken word show in Creole. How about that?
Right.
And then, you know, it was a bold move. It was a bold move because it's like, well, that's something I've never witnessed myself. And, you know, in the clique of Haitians that are in Montreal, sometimes are not really interested in those type of things.
Right.
And then we're like, you know what? And then myself, I was like, you know,
because
what?
It's more of an English thing in North America, right? It's more
that's
of an
right.
Anglophone.
That's right.
You don't hear much about like French. Like there is a French slam community with the Quebecers, but in terms of the Black community and Haitians specifically, I ran an open mic show for a long time, and like I tried to get as many as people as possible, but it was very rare that we'd have like a Haitian person coming in.
That's right.
And doing stuff in Creole specifically or in French, but mostly Creole.
Yeah.
It's rare,
rare. So we did that, and then, you know, I started to write other stuff. And at one point, you know, when you write a lot, you realize I was like, as an artist, I would say you kind of have that doubt of like, am I a one-trick pony?
Mm.
Right? Am I able to only write poems about Haiti? Like, is that the only thing I can do?
Yeah.
And then I decided to challenge myself and to write about other stuff and to decide. I did a series of like, give myself a challenge, 31 poems, 31 days.
Right.
And let's see.
Right.
Right. And I was able to do it. And that's when came my first poetry collection, Sumo 31. And then now I bring poetry in my class every single day.
Mm-hmm.
We do like, we either read a poem, we either like write a little bit, like there's always something involving, you know, poetry or writing in my class.
Yeah. You know, I got into quite an argument on Facebook with some people because I posted, I would love for there to be a program whereby it's all poetry focused. So, you know, there's the history of poetry, there's slam poetry, and there's French slam poetry because English slam and French slam are completely different. And
yes,
there is haiku technique and this and that. And I got into a huge argument because one of the statements that I made was I feel like poets are not respected on the same level as you know, certain teachers and certain other subject matters. And my argument was because, yes, you'll have poets who can make it, like the Maya Angelous, who will get $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for just speaking for an hour and so on and so forth. But on the baseline, most poets are not making more than, say, $100 or so per show. Like, just the baseline. There's there's always people above the baseline, but... So I'm like, I would like for us to train our artists to be in that way. And it's funny because you're doing that through other subjects, but within the same poetic format.
The thing is, like, when I became a teacher, one of the main thing was like, I want to spend 2 months a year writing. So how do I get a job that gives me 2 months to write?
Right.
Where do I get that? Yeah. Like, there's no other job that goes like, hey, dude, I want to work for y'all, but, you know,
I need 2 months off.
I'm not 2 months off. Like, they're going to be like, okay, well, screw you, dude.
Nope.
But next. But the thing is, by being a teacher, those 2 months are already embedded into your job.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a teacher because I like that, but also I'm going to use those 2 months as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but you can bring like poetry into your teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now you write about like poets, and I feel like I had that same feeling about like, you know, I publish poetry books, but I don't make money off of that. Like,
right.
I actually lose money.
Right.
Right. So, and then when you think about it, you're like, but people don't read poetry. Like, it's like, people read stuff, but they don't read poetry.
Yeah. And they listen.
Like, you're like, why? They listen to it, but it has to have you have to find the format. And it's a very, very hard thing. So yeah.
Even myself, I've bought quite a few books of poetry. And honestly, I can't tell you that I've read all of them.
That's right.
And sometimes I don't read them. Yeah. I buy them to support the artist. But to sit down and read, like, I prefer having a performance. And then I'm also a bit of a snob because there's certain ways that people perform that I'm just like.
But there's a thing.
I gotta go.
You have, and one of my personal, like, anxiety was, like, I spent from 2007 to 2011 performing, never had anything written. And then I was like, oh my God, I have nothing written. When people ask me if I wrote something, I'm like, yeah, but I performed it. And then when I wrote and published, and then they invite me a place to read, I would perform.
Yeah.
And people would be like, holy shit, you perform really well for someone that writes. So you realize that there's a difference between a good writer and a good performer.
Definitely.
See what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, there's some people that are amazing on the paper and the pen, and then, you know, the words flow. But for them to present it, you're like,
They don't understand presence. They don't understand timing. Right. They don't understand that's delivery. Right. They don't understand any of that. Exactly. They can do it on a written word, but...
That's right. And in my class, we were talking about slam poetry earlier. In my class, I sometimes combine two people to work on one poem.
Wow.
So we have sometimes someone that is a good performer, but cannot really write necessarily well, combined with someone that writes better, but cannot perform. And then they help each other out.
They balance each other out.
And
then
they balance other. And then they work on the same poem. And then they put it together, and then that's their show.
Ooh.
So now there's someone that wrote, and then the person that can perform, you go ahead and perform. Mm. And then when they are performing, you're like, holy shit, the person wrote a nice poem. Oh, the person performed really well. And then you have a collaboration that's there. And
the my example is like,
I always pick on that, but, you know, Celine Dion never wrote a song.
Oh.
I mean, I mean,
don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. We're in Quebec. Are you trying to get us shut down?
I'm sorry. But she doesn't write her songs. But no one on earth can deny that the lady can sing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny that.
Nope.
She can sing. So therefore, you're going to find someone that, like, you know, that can write very well. And then she's going to sing the words, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it shows the versatility and also the collaboration that's necessary to produce art. Right. It doesn't get produced by itself.
Exactly.
Right? So not a lot of us are like Kim, who can write, perform, you know, radio host and all that. We don't
listen.
Have us mere humans, you know,
Come on, man.
You know, mere humans.
Listen, like, don't give me that, man. I am struggling like everybody else. Don't let nobody fool you, ladies and gentlemen. I am struggling just like anybody else. You know, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. Oh my God. We do have to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Soul Perspectives. We're going to throw some music your way, throw a couple of ads so we can pay the bills here at CKUT. Keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
You should just give me that. 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 Give me like all them awards. Give me that worldwide tour. Give me that brand new Accord. Give me like all that coin. Yeah. You could walk in my shoes, then you just stay for the view. Cause how I see is so cool. I don't see her, her, or you. Irresistible, man, huggable. Fluffy with the silly flows. Non negotiable. Wild and like an animal. Out and instable. I'm a bull. Staying quiet though.
Yes, 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 we're back for the final time this evening. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I am here this evening with Tanguy Exumé, who is a father, poet, teacher, podcaster, salsa dancer, CrossFitter. He created a podcast called Teach Reach, where he explores stories that have shaped his life and interacts with other teachers, coaches, and friends. Tanguy, yo, it's been an amazing discussion thus far. Really, really glad that we were able to get you on the air today. So tell us a bit more about your podcast.
Man, I've always wanted to do a podcast, like, I don't know, radio, just there's something about radio. Mm-hmm. My love for radio comes from my grandmother. She lost her vision at the like tail end of her life.
Right.
But she would like always interact with the radio. She would always have the radio on and always like, you know, listening to the radio. Mm-hmm. And so her radio habits, like we shared a room when I was in Haiti. So her radio habits just got into me. I just like, you know, listen to what's happening. Like really you are able to pay attention to a story. Mm-hmm. Right. And she would like listen to like, you know, on Radio Métropole, Wo Ile Voila, mm-hmm. or more, like some tracks from Moïse Sisto and all that, all those people. So, you know, it's like I've been always wanted to be behind a mic and just mm-hmm. like guiding people through something. So, you know, this year with my wife has been like giving me a challenge. She's like, this is the year we do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, you know, like, just go. Like, what are you waiting for? Yeah. Right? Just go. Just do one episode and then you'll see. And then if you really, really don't like it, no problem. We stop.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's fine. So, and then I had a friend of mine that I'm working with who's like, you're doing a podcast? I want to produce that podcast. And I'm like,
okay,
dude, we're starting to get into way bigger territories that I really wanted to do because I just wanted to like get my phone, record some voice notes, publish it online, and that's it.
Right.
It's like, no. We need mics. We need good audio, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shit, dude, like, you're giving me way too much assignments. So that producer, good friend, but really, like, he's like, okay, you're going to record your first track. And so he placed me in, like, he's like, you need to go in a closet in your house. And then, like, and I'm like, what do you mean going to the closet?
Like, I'm trying to get out of the closet. What are you talking about?
Come on. It's like, no, because you need to have like, you know, good sound. And I'm like, dude, I don't care about good sound. Like, if you want people to listen to you properly, man, you better have good sound.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, he does have a point. Anyways, he guided me through it. And then, and I had that idea of like calling it Teach Reach for like, I don't know, maybe 10 years mm-hmm. based on a commercial I saw, a Michael Jordan commercial I saw where, you know, he was playing against his younger self. And then the younger self is like, you know, bouncing around. And then older Michael Jordan is just like, you know, picking spots and being like very wise. So he's like, you mm-hmm. know, Michael Jordan was like, you reach, I teach, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's like, you can go, the young one, you can go, but myself, I'm going to teach you. And I really like that parallel of like teaching and reaching. Right. So that's why I called it. And then I'm on episode 7 now. Mm-hmm. And it's been wonderful. It's been therapeutic for me. Like the stories that I've been writing, my stories and like, you know, the script a little bit, mm-hmm. and going deep down certain things that happened in my life that I knew happened, but I'd never like, you know, resolved with myself, right, in a way. And that's been really, really good, man. Like, it's been feeling good to kind of like put those things out, and yeah. I've been feeling lighter.
Yeah.
Ever since I put those stories out, like, it's been lighter. Like, I've been feeling lighter. So that's what it is, man. Trying to talk to people that have influenced me, but also talk to myself, right? Yeah. Like, talk to my own stories, right? Yeah. And being a little bit vulnerable there too. So.
And where are your podcasts available?
We are on Apple, we are on Spotify, we are on Google Podcast, and we are also on Podbean. So anywhere, like, you know, major podcast hubs, people will be able to find us. Teach Reach, one word, Teach Reach, and then people will be able to find me.
That's interesting that you're doing that. My father passed away this past January. And one of the things that I would have loved to have done was to do an interview with him, mm-hmm. because he released a book before he passed away, mm-hmm. Changemakers, 101 Women in Jamaica, which is the follow-up book to his first book, which was Changemakers, 101 Men in Jamaica. And, wow. And so now when in having my father pass on to, you know, to other places and to a different spiritual realm, I'm like grasping for like, where can I hear his voice again? Where can I see his writings and stuff like that? And so I'm digging into my emails, and I'm like looking at our old email conversations and reliving that love that we have for each other and those like conversations. And one of the things for me, as a poet, and I believe you can relate, is that I have so much writing, you know, like me, when you were talking about journaling in your classes, I journal regularly. I have gratitude books. I have 6 books filled with gratitude, and I'm just thinking about my son, and I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. Like, some people are like, you know, those are my private thoughts, I don't want to share that. I'm just like, no, you me know, too. Because yeah. You never know when your time is up. If there's one thing that I've learned, especially in this pandemic and over the past 5-6 years, you never know when your time is up. And it can be at any moment. And it's like, what do you want to leave to the world when you go? You know? Uh-huh. And what do you want to leave? If you have children, what do you want to leave to your children? You know? Yeah. Do you want... Like my dad, especially in the last year, we used to have a lot of conversations, and he's like, you need to control the narrative of who you are. And then it's like, who do you want to control your narrative? Like, do you want your children to hear from other people about who you are? Or do you want your children to hear from you? And what's the best way for your children to hear from you? It's to do podcasts.
That's right.
It's to write books. It's to write journals, so that they can be like, because my stepmother started talking to me about who my father was, and it's like, I only knew him as dad, you know, but I didn't know him as a life partner to my stepmother. So we were having conversations, and I'm like, who is this man? You know, like, where did he come from?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was just thinking about the importance of putting yourself out there, and like the fact that you're recording this, like your children, your 2 sons are going to have very tangible memories.
Oh yeah.
Of
yeah.
their father's words speaking about who he is. So kudos
and
to you,
there's
brother.
There's one thing like, speaking of stories, it's like, my grandmother, and you talk about stories from your father, and you know, your father left a legacy, a printing legacy. Mm-hmm. my grandmother had at best a grade 4 education, at best, right?
Okay.
But the thing is, she spent her entire life telling us stories.
Mm-hmm.
Her entire life talking about, like, an immense amount of stories that when we gather the grandchildren and her children and everything, we share those stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that you are a collection of those stories,
yes,
right? You build them. So when I was, there's one episode 3 in the podcast that, you know, I was proof listening to it in the car. Mm-hmm. And then my son was in the back seat, my youngest one, 6 mm-hmm. years old. And then he listened to the entire, like, 24, 25 minutes. And when he finished, he's like, do you have a photo of the person you talked about in there? Can mm-hmm. I see her?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, sure, of course you can. Mm-hmm. And he's like, is that the, so in the story, I shared something about, like, you know, something that happened during a flood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is that why sometimes you're not very happy when it's raining? Mm. And I'm like,
wow.
You observe stuff, man. Like,
yeah.
it's like you observe stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I am. But it offers an opportunity for us to talk about something that he observed in me and something that's now part of him. Like this story right now, continuing that legacy, right? Mm. There's like we are, like Richard Wagamese, the poet that I shared in the beginning, Richard Wagamese said, we are all stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we are, mm-hmm. right? And then when your father asks you, who do you want to have the narrative? Who do you want to have the story,
yeah.
right? Who do you want to control that narrative?
Like, yeah.
Right? So that story, that's what makes us, right? We share stories. That's why, like, you know, when you have a good piece of, like, fiction, quote unquote, like, if it makes you cry, it's because it's real. It's
yeah.
a story. Like, it gets to you, right? Like, yeah. like we live through stories. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to Tanguy Exumé. Tanguy, I'm full. Our conversation has made me full. I've had an amazing meal this evening. Thank you so much for that. Please let the people know where they can get your podcast, and as well, if they want to get in touch with you, how they can get in touch with you, the social media, all the good stuff.
Well, through social media, always through my podcast. So the podcast tagline is @teachreach_podcast on Instagram. You can listen to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcast. You can find also the show notes at teachreach.podbean.com. It's been an immense pleasure. I'm very, very happy to have had that conversation with you. Likewise, like, you are one of the few people from my 13, 14 years old that, you know, that from day one, like, it etched in my memory. Like, you have a presence yourself. So every time I interact with you, I feel fuller than you feel. So
thank you. You know what? I'll take it. If I can give someone a positive, if I can leave a positive impact on someone, I'll take it. Thank you for that, brother.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show this week. And this is the last show before the new year. So happy new year to all you folks out there. Hope you had amazing, happy holidays. And we'll see you on the other side of 2022. We're here this and every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30 p.m. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
We've never met, and to be honest, we probably never will. That's not really important. But there are probably people out there who are important to you, who are reluctant to get the COVID-19 vaccine for themselves and for their children. We all have our reasons. But if we take the time to listen to others, we can help reassure and support them. And that's really important.
The first step to understanding is listening. If you have questions about the vaccines, visit quebec.ca/vaccine talk. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
COVID-19 is quickly circulating throughout the province of Quebec. It's essential that you get tested only if you have COVID-like symptoms. symptoms such as fever, cough, and loss of taste or loss of smell. As you may already know, testing still remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. For more information, visit quebec.ca/test-COVID-19. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
To make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19, visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
întoarce barca-n port. Am zis că plec, că nu mă mai întorc, dar după atâta timp în suflet te mai port. Distanță, încă ne desparte, continente separate, povestea noastră de carte, dar o să avem happy în parte. Viața le rezolvă pe toate, tot ce-a fost rău timpul lasă în spate. Și dacă tu ești a mea jumătate, sigur ne vom împătra într-o noapte.
Și-am ajuns acum, doi prieteni buni, sentimente tari, le-am strins cumva.
Mă răscolești când îmi zâmbești.
Și-am ajuns acum, doi prieteni buni.
Sunt în jocuri, nici măcar nu ne place, dar ne place ce face. Simple jocuri, nici măcar nu vorbim, de ce să vorbim când deja ne simțim. Jocuri, tu și cu mine, facem un rău care ne face bine. Și nici legea firii nu poate să pună că tu și iubire. Jocuri, nici măcar nu se țină, și cine-i de vină, nici nu mai contează. Jocuri, că mintea e plină și ochii sunt goi, nici nu mai luminează. Jocuri, avem doza minimă, să ne jucăm inima, mai mult nu se poate. Jocuri, am zis că te las eu deoparte, dar mi-e clar nu se poate. Faci tu ce face, îmi place mie. Ai tu ceva de nu-ți prețis. Tu ești și rău, dar ești și bine. Cel mai jos în compromis
de la playa în Puerto Rico.
Ai!
Vreau să la de latino.
Latino. Escale pe la Mexico. Traído. Fashion killer la Milano. Cum te m-a prins, nu m-a convins. Să-i fac cadouri, vacanțe de vis. Țoale e șarfe și harfe de mis. O fi de la vrăjeală sau fundul la jeans. Ăsta-i drogul meu și cred că nu mai pot să scap. Am antecedente, mă simt super slab. Domnișoare, spune-mi ce mi-ai pus în ceai. Sau un supă după că mă simt prea high. Ai to me, de idei știi. Să mă fac să mă întorc orice-ar fi. Să-mi pierd controlul și noapte și zi. Și jur m-aș opri, da. Faci tu ce face, îmi place mie. Ai tu ceva de nu-ți rețis. Tu ești și rău, dar ești și bine. Ești drogul meu, ești drogul meu neinteres. Ești cel mai dulce în compromis.
Să mă las de tine de ceva timp, că tu nu schimbi nimic, în schimb vrei numai să mă schimb. Și mă plimb prin toate tipurile care-mi strică filmul. Eu cobor la prima, babe, coboară tu la primul. Cândva nu mă săturam de prezența ta, dar parcă nu mai e la fel și mi-o dă altcumva. Nu mai am același hai nici când aud te iubesc. Probabil asta pățești când îl folosești prea des.
Faci tu ce faci, îmi place mie. Ai tu ceva de nu-ți prețis. Tu ești și rău, dar ești și bine. Ești drog. Cel mai dulce compromis.
Atunci când pleci eu mă simt cel puțin ciudat. Mi-a oprit inima în piept. Nu știe nimeni, ne vedem în secret. Știu că mă minți, nu e corect. Nu mi-a plăcut niciodată să te aștept. Dacă mă cunoșteai știai. Și dacă mă iubeai veneai. În seara aia când ți-am scris că mi-ai apărut în vis. Dacă mă cunoșteai știai. Și dacă mă iubeai veneai. În seara aia când ți-am scris că fără tine nu exist.
Asta nu-s fire de poveste. De ce sunt un om de noi doi? Ceva ce nu se povestește. Nu ne privește decât pe noi. Noi ne vom iubi, ne vom aminti când se va sfârși. Asta nu-s fire de poveste. De ce sunt un om de noi doi?
Îmi vorbești de sus, de parcă mă ierți. Când eu ar trebui pe tine să te iert. Nu tu să mă cerți. Discutăm, ne aprindem calicurici. Ne certăm din simple caprici. Fata lui tata nu știe sacrificii. Pentru mine ca o mie de vici, yeah. Că dacă ne iubeam pe bune, acum nu ne ascundeam de lume. Și că un bărbat trebuie să-și asume. Și când îl faci bucăți, singur să se adune.
universul să zică ce vrea. Ți-e mai bine cu el, mie cu ea. Între noi n-a fost să fie, poate în altă viață, cine știe.
Asta nu-s fire de poveste, e ce se întâmplă între noi doi. Ceva ce nu se povestește, nu ne privește decât pe noi. Noi ne vom iubi, ne vom aminti când se va sfârși. Asta nu-s fire de poveste, e ce se întâmplă între noi.
Să n-ascult oamenii răi și vorbele-n văt. Să nu mă las niciodată înfrânt, că sufletul și inima nu se vând. Da, tată, te aud și acum, să stau o viață drept, să fiu un om bun. Că timpul trece și în urmă rămân doar lacrimi și fum.
Amintiri n-am să le uit niciodată, cât inima mea o să bată. N-aș mai trăi de o mie de ori amintiri. Hei, mamă, uite-mă, tată, vreau să trăiesc încă o dată. Toți anii să-i aduc înapoi.
Pe drum, ascunse toate într-un balon de săpun. Aș vrea să iam aici și să nu-i mai las, să-ntorc toți anii ăștia ca pe un ceas. Și câteodată așa mi-e de dor să mă strângă iar în brațele lor. Doamne, fă cumva și am tot ce vrei, pentru o secundă tu adu-mi pe ei.
Aminti să le uit niciodată, cât inima mea o să bată. N-aș mai trăi de o mie de ori amintiri. Hei, mamă, uite-mă, tată, vreau să trăiesc încă o dată. Toți anii să-i aduc înapoi.
Vântul te jucam în părul tău, veiul meu și acum place in Miami where to hear your soul. Fill the glass with your deepest hope. Where the faces have no name, I feel I'm home. There's a beach in Miami when the sun is gone. You dance in the sand and you're not alone. There's no faces and no name.
Toată lumea e cu mâinile în aer. Băi, cred că așa e normal. gărițăriță. Te rog, fă-mi pe plac, dau poieniță. Lasă-mă s-o fac, mâine scând o serenadă și te iau la val.
Sticla de palincă m-a făcut să scând fal.
La 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 la.
Good evening. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal. To get tonight's program started off, here is Wild Bill Phillips telling us about the time he found a pebble in his shoe.
Baby, I love you. Tell me that you miss me now. Help me find your love somehow. Tell me that you need me now. Hitch your heart behind my plow. Baby, let me show you how. Do what your daddy won't allow. Right away, and for you to stay, baby, come with me and play.